Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Men's Room podcast from TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. If, like me, you love a little deal, then you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money. Getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If you keep spending, you'll keep on saving. That's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app. A bosh. This is the Men's Room podcast with me, Tom Skinner, alongside the legend, and that is the 17th hardest footballer of all time, Neil Razor Ruddock. A reminder, you can see us and all of our amazing guests with your own eyes over on the TalkSport YouTube channel. Now, let's get into this week's podcast. Hiya. How we doing, you lovely, lovely people? Now we're back. TalkSport must like us because we've got another show. Is that right?
We're doing well. TalkSport like you. You ain't doing too bad in life.
Listen, this is the Men's Room with TalkSport, probably the best podcast in the world.
It will be.
We're getting there, having a go. And listen, we do have a laugh, but we also talk about serious mental health issues.
Yeah.
And today we've got a very inspirational guest.
Okay.
A reformed character, a businessman. He's been through a lot, yeah?
Ellenback, you would say.
I would say worse, yeah?
Twice.
Ricky Killeen, his name is.
Yeah.
Great, he's on YouTube. He's helping people out there. And we've got him here.
Have we?
We've got him here.
He's come all the way, I know, because I can see him behind the camera. He's very intimidating. Is he looking at us?
He's bigger than you, isn't he?
No, he ain't as wide. Ain't as ugly, that's for sure.
Ricky, welcome to the Men's Room.
Come on, mate. Come see that.
Welcome to the Men's Room.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us. Nice to meet you.
Safe journey.
Yeah.
You all right?
Safe journey. All right. Good train journey.
How long did it take you?
3 hours.
Where do you live?
Stanley, County Durham. Up near Newcastle.
There's a castle in County Durham I stayed in. I think it's County Durham. Near Durham. And it's haunted.
Durham Cathedral.
Oh, mate, no, there's a place there. It's haunted. See, I'm tough and I'm scared of ghosts.
Well, you can see it from Durham Prison. You look old.
That's oh, yeah, there you go. Well, I was looking at you when you was looking at me. No, on a serious note, it's lovely to travel down and meet us, mate. So your story, so what age did you start getting in trouble?
So I started getting into trouble at a very young age, around about 6 or 7 year old, I'd say.
Wow. What, doing what? Just being a pest? And
just getting up to mischief, because the area that I lived in, everyone was doing the same. There was no to do as kids.
Yeah.
It was a rundown area. All the adults, the parents, were out drinking, fighting. So from that young age,
that's who you learn from. You learn from your elders, I suppose.
Didn't see no different. But to me, it was all fun, getting into trouble, lighting fires, watching the fire brigade come, going out shoplifting. We didn't have much as kids, so
getting a buzz out of it.
Getting a buzz out of it, aye.
Well, all the kids doing the same though. If it's one of them, you follow. You know, you follow the crowd, didn't you?
Course,
you know, everyone else is getting up to you. You don't want to be the one that's, you know, you'd be called a pussy or, you know, you're a lightweight and all that. So you'd have to get involved. So that's your situation.
That's what it was. Everyone was doing the same sort of thing. And like I say, it was just a bit of fun.
I've been doing a bit of research on you, Ricky. Yeah. And I hear you said in a podcast that your dad was in prison.
He was,
and you wanted to go to prison because you loved your dad and looked up your dad so much. And you thought that was where you wanted to be.
It was, aye. Yeah, my dad had done about, this was before I was born, he'd done about 14 years in prison altogether. Mm. And then obviously settled down when he went with my mum, had 3 kids. But he used to tell me stories about prison, and I used to look up and think it was like glamorous. My next door neighbour was the same, into trouble, in and out of prison. And these are the sort of people I was surrounded by. And in my mind, I wanted to be like that. I wanted to do that.
You thought they were heroes.
Oh, did I?
You know what I mean? It's
looking back.
Yeah. So what was the first time you went to prison? What did you do? What age were you? What crime?
Well,
I'd
been into a lot of trouble before I went to prison.
Yeah, okay.
But never actually landed in prison. I didn't go to prison until I was 20. Before I got remanded for that, I was on bail for a violent offence. I was in a house party. Ended up in an altercation with one of the lads in the house. And I've ended up battering him, punching him, knocking him to the floor. And then I've jumped on top of him with a bottle and smashed his head in with a bottle. But again, all of this was all down to that image in my head of wanting to go to prison.
Yeah.
I was doing things before all this and I still didn't end up in prison. And in my head I was sitting like,
what have we got to do?
Like stupidly at the time, aye. So for that offence, the police were looking for us. I went to the police station, it was 12 o'clock at night. And the police station was actually shut. So I'm banging on the front door
like
a lunatic.
I want to go to prison.
I'm banging on and I've seen the police officer looking through and he's going like that as if to say, what do you want? And I'm going, I'm wanted. So they've said, come round the back. So I went round the back where all the police cars are parked up. And he says, hey, why are you watching him? I said, I'm Ricky Killian, I'm wanted by yous. And he says, right, just come over here, I'll get it. I'll ring through the Consett police station. And we just ended up fetching another car for us, took us up to Consett police station.
Is this the night of the fight, or is it?
That was there a few days later. Okay. I've been on a session for a few days with my mate. And went to me handing myself in. And in the morning, come and got us, interviewed us. I've admitted everything, processed us, and said, right, you're getting bailed. So I was like, I'm getting bailed. I've told you what I've done. I said, it's not going to stop here. I'm telling you I want to go to prison, you know, like I'm going off my head. Didn't listen to us, let us out. And then a couple of weeks later, or no, it was a couple of months later actually, before I was due to get sentenced, 2 weeks before I was due to get sentenced, I had another altercation with another lad in the area, same sort of lad as me, likely lad in the area. He filled my sister in one night, battered my sister. My sister rang me up crying her eyes out saying I've been done in.
Oh God.
So I went running down my sister's house, but by the time I've gotten there, the police and all that was already there. The other lad was getting locked up. And about a week later, I'm in my sister's house. And they're ringing my sister's house phone, griefing her down the phone, so I've picked the phone up. And anyways, about half an hour later, we went to his door, balaclavas on, big machetes, booted his door and ran in and just started chopping him up with the machetes. Obviously, the police were looking for us again that time. And this time, when I went and handed myself in again, funny enough, the same thing happened. Went and got pissed up with me mates, I was on a bit of a bender. 12 o'clock at night, I says, right, I'm off. Got to the police station, had myself in. At the same police station, same scenario.
You go straight around the back. Oh, no, when he turned up, saying, oh, no, I'll go around the back. What made you get to this? Obviously, how long was you banged up for?
The first time I got, be careful what you wish for, I ended up getting an IPP. I'm still serving that sentence now, which is a life sentence. Says 99 years.
Wow.
So I'm on life license for the rest of my life.
What's the license mean? What do you have to do? Are you allowed to be down here?
I'm coming down here. I can't leave the country.
Yeah.
So
what are the conditions? Is it conditions to your license?
Conditions, you've got to go to probation every month, speak with probation.
Yeah.
I've got about 12 different conditions on us. I can't speak to the victims. Can't leave the country. Can't stay out overnight without informing probation beforehand. Can't get in a car and go and drive it without telling them the registration of the car.
Wow.
Something like that, you can get a recall straight back to prison. So you don't even have to commit another offence. You could go into probation, have an argument with the probation officer. The probation officer could be having a bad day and say, right, recall, goes down bad behaviour. You don't even have to commit another offence.
Wow.
There's a lad sitting in prison now, been in nearly 2 years waiting for hearings because the prison's that backlogged, but you can't get out until you have a hearing, a parole hearing. This is for the IPPs.
But that's better than being banged up. I know it's a pain in the ass what you're going through.
Oh,
but
definitely.
It's better than being banged up.
But luckily,
how did you find it? Sorry to interrupt, but how did you find when you was eventually banged up? How long did it take you being in there thinking, fuck,
it took,
I don't like this. It's not such a good idea after all.
It took 3 years for us to change my mindset because when I went in, I was 20, turned 21, ended up in Franklin, which is a high security prison.
You were talking about that. You sound
like
that.
When I got into there again, 21-year-old, it was like, result, I'm in the biggest
and
prison.
And this is, what was it called?
You're in there with like terrorists and murderers. Terrorists. It's the worst, like it's bad.
Serial
killers.
How does it take 3 years to realise?
Because I was still in that mindset, 21-year-old in there, and it wasn't until I started evaluating my life and I was thinking, what an idiot. I'm sitting in here wasting my life. I'm looking at my friends all outside, going on holidays, getting girls, families, settling down. There's me stuck in there like an idiot, thinking like this was the result I wanted. But then that's when I thought to myself, like, because that sentence is a parole sentence, there's no release date. You've got to knuckle down, get your head down, and sort yourself out to rehabilitate before you're released back into society. Yeah. So after 3 years, because even in Franklin, we were sitting, we were getting pissed up on the hooch, and it was just like having parties at Christmas times, different things like that. But then I was coming back from the gym on a night time, and I was having to say to the lads, look, I'm not drinking the night, because there was that much of it on the wing. And that's when, from that moment, I've done a 6-month drug and alcohol course, and you had to go back to the beginning of your life and talk about your life map and everything. Yeah. A lot of things come to the surface. But after I'd done that, I felt like a changed man after that course.
Was there a lot of friction, there's a lot of trouble in there? Like, what's some of the serious, worst, shocking things you've
there's
seen?
There's been some serious incidents whilst I was there, but them sort of prisons, you're all in with like-minded people, so there's not a lot of trouble. Everyone wants to get on with the time. It's just like sitting here with you now, sitting and have a bit of banter.
Yeah.
You meet some of the most charismatic characters you'll ever meet in your life in them places.
Yeah.
But when it does go off, it goes off probably like they're going to try and kill you.
Yeah.
The second day I was there, I was in the kitchen, and there was a pan of hot oil just bubbling away on the stove. And I was looking over to me mate, and I was saying to someone, all right here. One of the lads come in, picked it up, walked up behind the terrace and just tipped it over his head. And the terrace, all of his skin, everything was peeling off the back of his head. But he didn't give me his dues. He went running after the lad, him and another lad. They went running after him and set about the lad in the pad after it, when all his skin's peeling off the back of his head. But the tension that was on the wing after that, because the terrorists all stick together, and they're like the force to be reckoned with in the high security prisons. So after that incident, there was about 20 lads, big lads from down London where, and the friction on the wing was just horrendous.
Wow, this is your second day.
Second day.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Men's Room podcast on TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. This is your little reminder that you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store, or via the app. You might be thinking, why would I sign up? But I'm glad you asked. At Toolstation, if you keep spending, you keep on saving. Signing up means that not only will you get a lovely 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, but there are thousands of prizes to be won. So that's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today online, in-store, or via the app.
So you got out. Did you have the plan in your mind what you was going to do when you come out? You was going to do what you're doing now, or did it?
I got moved from there. I got downgraded after that course to Category C.
Yeah.
And whilst I was in there, my girlfriend had stuck by us throughout my sentence. But it wasn't really serious because I'd set her whilst I was in Franklin, listen, because she was the same age as me, 21. I says, I could be in here for 10 years. You just live your life out there. But she wanted to wait for us. She waited for us.
Beautiful.
And a year before my parole here was coming up, I sent her a letter, tell her that I loved her, I wanted to be with her. We'd never actually tell each other that before. She sent us one back, we're still waiting for the response.
Didn't get a letter back.
who's this?
I didn't know you felt that way, sorry.
Oh, you can write now. I do believe you couldn't write when you went in. So I got the response back, she felt exactly the same.
Oh,
she was
brilliant.
Coming up on visits. And we're sort of planning the future.
But that kept you going as well, I suppose.
Kept
that's mentally, that is, must be a
kept
really
me
positive
head
thing.
Yeah, she was coming up visiting us every week.
Brilliant.
Then I had my parole here, and I got out after 5 years. My tariff was 4, but I spent a year longer in waiting for hearings and different things. got out and moved in with her. Really? And then over the course of six years, we had four kids.
Wow.
Well done.
Well,
beautiful. Like you mean,
didn't like to tell you, didn't like to tell you.
How much does cigarettes go for in jail and baccy?
Baccy and cigarettes, not a, to be honest with you, a lot of people just smoking vapes.
Yeah.
But a packet of, or even one roll-up can go for like £20.
Mental, isn't it?
a bit like outside now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was on the services at the M1, did that, they go for that.
But yeah, it's mostly the vapes, like a packet of vapes. Yeah. It was like I said, they put them up, so the lads can't even buy a packet. So what happens then, the lads are having to go and chuck you on, because you've got people on the wing that have got packets full of vapes who sell them for double bubble, it's called. Sometimes it's times three, so you give one, you've got to give three back.
Oh.
So these lads that have got nothing,
they're
desperate, they're just getting themselves into a massive hole because they're getting double bubble. Yeah. Comes to the next week, they haven't even got enough to pay for the pack they got.
And what about all the wardens and that? Were they good to you in there? Or do you feel like being in jail, like, did they help you in any way? Or did you feel like it was against you a little bit?
To be honest, where
you're
in prison.
What do you call them? Do you call them boss, screws? What do you call them?
Call them boss or screw. Yeah.
Not to your face.
Obviously, you call them boss. The lads each other call them screws.
Oh, so, mister.
But in the young offenders, it was sir or boss or gov. But when you get to the high security prisons, you actually call them by the first names.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's more of a more settled in the atmosphere and stuff in there. Like,
well,
so.
They're okay. But, I mean, they're okay to different people, I suppose. So you have to be seen treating everyone the same, or do you have to have their favourites? You have your favourites and all this.
You can't
be seen having a favourite. I mean, it's one of them. You've done it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know,
you have got the ones that are all right, then you've got the ones that are dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
I wrote a book last year, and my friend Tony, who's in jail, I sent him a copy of him. I've written the front page, and I sent it into Franklin to him, and on the British prison number, I think. And he had to keep going down to try and get it, and they still...
I won't let
him have the book. Because he's in the wall.
Well, the reason why they've got to get sent direct from the bookshops,
yeah.
Because at the minute, or I'm saying at the minute, it's been going on for years. You'll have heard of the spice.
Yeah. Oh, they lace it.
Do with the spray it now. So sheets of paper, they used to send them in, A4 paper. They used to get it in like solicitors' letters, or you get them in like, just say your kids wrote you a little picture or something. They would spray it so people wouldn't realise. But that A4 sheet of paper goes for £1,000.
Yeah.
That's what it is of spice. So now everything that gets sent in gets photocopied before they give you it, so they can't do it.
I've read it. What's your mate's name?
Tony.
Tony, I've read it. It ain't worth it anyway, mate.
but you know, he won't be able to see it in this video anyway. But you know, as the man, because he's on the back page in acknowledgements, I can't even sit in a bookshop anyway. So he can't even have it anyway.
That was your only comedy that got sold.
Rick, you obviously listen, like the audience of TalkSport, loads of young men, especially football fans, sort of late teens, early 20s. If you could give them one bit of advice that people maybe might be going down the wrong road, might be getting up to no good, might be out there selling drugs, getting in fights,
carrying knives,
in that mindset, what advice can you give them and tell them as well, obviously tell us, but how bad it is in jail that they don't want to be there? Because a lot of them don't, like you did as a young man, thought, that's it, I don't care, I'm going to be the king of the wing. Like, until you get there, you realise you ain't, you know? Like, and basically, that's what I'm...
Yeah. Well, the best advice I would give to the young lads, lasses, any of them that's walking around carrying weapons, carrying knives, think about what you're doing, think about your actions, think about what that knife is actually going to do. Because I was doing the same, carrying knives, and I never once thought about the consequences of it. Obviously, I knew I was heading to prison, but when I'm talking about consequences, I wasn't thinking about the victim. One wrong stab, you could stab them once, thinking that you were just trying to scare them off, and they could lose their life. Mm. They have lost their life, then you're in prison losing your life as well.
It's the community, it's the mums and dads, the brothers and sisters.
It's like the ripple effect.
It's everything. It's terrible. Like, it is terrible. Do you know what? Love what you're doing with your gym. So knife crime, especially around here, it's rife. It's terrible. Yeah. We've got a small boxing gym I have in Essex, and I said anyone that wants to come down, hand in a knife, I'll pay your train fare, give you a free boxing session. You're safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think what you're
doing...
Would
you say they answer to come in and then they're 19 to you, and so it's a safe place?
I've got an amnesty box, yeah? What you don't realise, and Ricky will know this more than I do, yeah? A lot of kids nowadays don't carry a knife to use it, or they want to carry a knife. It's because they feel that everyone else is carrying a knife.
Protection.
Yeah? Protection. And a lot of the states, especially in East London, the elders, the older kids, are making the youngers carry knives for them. That is what's happening. Oh, okay. So they don't see a way out. And because they've got kid brains, they're kids still. They're not, you know what I mean? They're not grown out of it.
They're not fully developed. Yeah. Brains not fully developed.
They're not thinking about the consequences of
it. And I mean, like, what you're doing is hats off to you, mate. It's inspirational. It's brilliant.
So me, Jim, again, I went back into prison. I got recalled into prison.
For why was that?
It was aggravated vehicle taking. I was buying and selling cars at the time. It's classed as twock, taken without consent.
Yeah.
I was buying and selling cars at the time. I had my own motor trade business. I got off on a stolen car. One night I'd been having a drink and I bought the car.
See, it's down the drink again.
Drink again. Because I knew someone that was into that sort of stuff. So I says, do you want to buy this car? I went to drop the car off, pissed up, crashed the car, airbags went off. I've run away, left the scene. 6 months later, I'm thinking everything's fine. In my recovery truck on the way to work, pick a car up. About 10 police cars just come behind us, boxed us in. You wanted for recall to prison? I was like, totally shocked. Didn't even know what I was for because it was 6 months that had passed.
But
my saliva was on the airbag and that's what came back.
Wow.
So I'm sitting in prison, four kids, wife, hit rock bottom again, just totally at the bottom, lost everything, head up my arse. Took us like 6 months of being in there, hardly sleeping. My head was just totally battered.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until I like totally said to myself, listen, it's your fault. You ended up here. Took it all on board, said, right, admitted what I'd done. Obviously went to court, admitted it. And that's when I started feeling better. But then I thought, right, I've lost my license. I've lost my business. I can't come back to sell cars anymore because I can't drive.
Yeah.
So I got into the fitness in prison. Obviously I've trained since I went to prison when I was 20. But it was during COVID, we were in lockdown. There was no gyms. You had 45 minutes a day out your pad. I was going out on the yard and I was doing bodyweight exercises, got myself extremely fit, lost 2 stone, started writing everything down, and I ended up writing a book while I was in prison. And the book's called Behind the Bars, Ruthless Fitness.
What's it called?
Behind the Bars, Ruthless Fitness.
Go and buy it.
It's on Amazon, Waterstones, WH Smith.
There you go.
Everywhere. And then I started thinking about getting a gym when I got out. I was doing PTs when I first got out, one-to-ones with people just down in the car park and stuff. Now, my mate who'd owned a gym for 20 years, he was selling his. During COVID, he wasn't doing so well, obviously, when it was locked down.
Yeah.
So he wanted to get rid of it, and he says, hey, I'm going to give you a first opportunity. I think you'll be the perfect person for it. So it took us, again, we're in lockdown, it took us about 5 months to come to the decision. Head was up my arse again, thinking everything that I've got, I'm putting into this.
Yeah.
I'm going to be left with nothing. I need to make this work. So I put everything into it, grafted my arse off, and the gym's took off. I'm into my third year now.
Brilliant.
Doing kids' boxing classes.
Brilliant.
Doing ladies' classes, doing weightlifting for the lads. All the likely lads are in from the area. Good atmosphere, got the tunes pumping, everyone's loving it. I've got a mental health group that I run every Wednesday, men's mental health.
Brilliant.
I set that up because two of my best friends killed themselves.
Oh.
One of them actually found them. This is what sent us back down the wrong path when I got recalled. Rang us up one day. I knew he wasn't right. When I went to his house, he wasn't answering the door. When I was banging on the back of the door, I could hear the keys on the inside. He lived in an upstairs flat. So I set my mate, stepped back, booted the door in, ran upstairs, looked in every room. And the last door I was looking, I was trying to push the door open and he was on the back of the door hanging.
Sorry, so,
I've had to cut him down, give him mouth to mouth. And then that's when I started drinking again after that. And that's why I've done that stupid decision that ended us back in prison.
So that's right.
That's why I set the mental health group in my gym. It's for men over the age of 18, and it's been running for 2 years now, when the success stories that I've had of it, the lads are coming in the gym every day, they're training.
Yeah.
Totally different. They've put weight on in a different mindset, and that's all through me talking to them and setting the group up.
It's brilliant. It just shows you, doesn't it, like everyone or anyone can be in a dark place, a low place,
Everyone's been in a dark place. No man in the world, or woman in the world, only in a dark place at one time in life.
Ricky, like, mate, when you're sitting in that cell list, look, not everyone you think you knew outside that your mates won't write to you. Yeah. But you know what I mean? That's who's going to come and see you? You feel on your own. Yeah. Lucky you had your lovely wife, your lovely missus that stood by you. But for you to come out from when you was 18, 19, 20, running around wanting to go to prison and getting up to no good, and in and out, and doing what you've done, to this end, having a mental health group, having the gym, right? You are inspirational to so many people out there that are exactly in your situation, and that's off to you, mate, because it's brilliant. Do you know what I mean? And keep doing what you're doing.
Because I get messages all the time. I wake up on them on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I'm on about five different platforms. I'm getting messages.
Success stories from people. It must make you feel $1 million, mate.
That's what makes us feel good about doing it, you know. Obviously, what I'm doing with the group and everything, the talks that I do on YouTube, it's all for free, but the reward is...
And that's part of your rehab as well.
It is, aye.
For your end,
keeps me on the street and it makes me feel good.
Brilliant, mate.
That's what I'm
saying. Ain't too bad, mate.
You need a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah. it's good to talk, but you don't shut up sometimes, eh? I mean, come on.
Right, so Ricky, listen. Yeah. You're in the gym, fighting, right? You're nice and strong. You look fit, looking well. You've done 7 years behind the door. You've got a 99-year licence, yeah? But you are a tough man. But did you know, Mr. Razor Ruddock here?
Oh, shut up.
He's the 17th hardest footballer of all time. Now, he thinks he's double tough. He thinks he should be number one, to be fair. I mean, he broke both Andy Cole's legs in one
tackle. Not big or not proud.
But he reckons, well, you told me earlier, you said before Ricky come turn up, I'm going to get him out of here.
Right, Thomas, what have you been saying before?
No, he said, look, if it went off a little bit, he said, I'd do him.
I think I'll pick him off.
So,
Tom, that was...
I would.
The man's reformed character. If he throws a punch, he's going back with 99, isn't he? So I think I'll do him.
I think I'll pick him off. I ain't going to grass him, so go on.
No, it's cameras. Hey, it's cameras everywhere, right? Before you think about it, you're reformed. Before you chin me, right? Cameras around here, all right?
But he's
I think
so brave
I'd, now. So keep out of range.
But no, you've got to have a fight.
No, I don't have to fight. I don't fight anymore.
You've got...
Thomas, why are you stupid? This is a podcast.
You are
we're trying to
not
be sensible.
17th hardest football.
No, I'm 117th.
honestly, how would he get on in jail?
Oh.
To be honest with you...
remember, I've done 6 hours.
To be honest with you, he's a rare... charismatic fella, so I think you would get on well.
I wouldn't want to find out, but I think me bants. I think people like me with me bants.
I think they would like his banter, so I think he would probably get on all right.
Ricky, mate, it's been inspirational, honestly.
Thank you very much.
You're helping a lot of people.
Good luck with your life, now, mate. And good say hello to your missus and the kids.
I will do. Thank you very much. Doing.
But, face off time.
Why are you trying to get me in trouble?
Come on, let's go.
What are you, 6 foot?
Ready?
I'm 6 foot.
That's enough of that. Right, listen. That was the Men's Room podcast. Get yourself over there, you. Listen, make sure you watch it, download it, I don't know, subscribe to it, steal it, like it, it doesn't matter. Two lovely fellas on a lovely podcast. It's all about men's mental health.
Come on.
Let's have it.
Good dog.
Toolstation are the proud sponsors of the Men's Room podcast on TalkSport. Join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If all that isn't enough, then remember, if you sign up, then you will get loads of exclusive discounts that aren't available anywhere else. That's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today online, in-store or via the app.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.